welcome, everyone. We appreciate you joining us. I'm Dr. Nicole Bean. I am the Vice President of Strategic Initiatives and Special Projects at Bay Cone College. If this is your first time joining us, or not your first time, rather, I'm no longer the athletic director. We've actually hired some new coaches here. And so I was able to thankfully give up my additional title the first of this week. So again, welcome. I'm so glad to have you all here. I'm excited to hear what Dr. Wilch has to talk about today. Most of you have already shared your kind words either via this webinar, or you've also sent them in when you registered. And so I'm just as excited as you all are to hear her speak today. I do want to recognize some of our special guests that we have that's also going to be speaking later on in our series. So I think logged on, we should have A.B. Rogers from Langston University who opened the series up. And so her webinar and recording is actually online as well. And then we also have Coach Rita Story Shell, who will be back with us on August 4th to serve as our guest speaker. So I wanted to welcome them here. Also want to take time to recognize our students. And so this is kind of what the webinar was first created for, an opportunity to keep them engaged, an opportunity for them to network, to gain some additional knowledge, and then also to hopefully apply that knowledge to some goal setting as they went further in their education as well as after graduation. So if you are a student, whether you just graduated in May or you're a current student, if you just give us a wave so we can see how many of our students that we have on board. Oh, yes. So again, this is your opportunity to really network. We have professionals in the field as well on here. And so again, internship jobs that are coming up, maybe there's an area of expertise that they can provide. Feel free to ask questions. We like to keep it interactive. And so I'm sure Dr. Wilch will give you some of those different guidelines as we move forward. I would ask that you keep your phones muted or your computers muted unless you're speaking. That way it just takes out a lot of the background noises and different items as we move forward so that everybody can stay focused and get all of the great information that Natalie is going to provide for us today. So again, welcome special guests. Welcome everybody that's attending, because I feel like you're all special. And then also welcome to our students. So without further ado, I'll go ahead and introduce Dr. Wilch. Seems like a lot of you know her, and then she's been joining us throughout the webinars as well. And so again, Dr. Wilch comes from us from Linfield College. She was hired in August of 2019 as the first faculty member in the sports management program. And then recently she's taken on the additional title of Native American Affairs Advocate. She received her PhD from the University of Tennessee, and then she also received her master's, her MBA and a master's in sports business from Central Florida. And she went through the DeVos program, who is affiliated with the Orlando Magic. One of the things that I probably admire about her the most, being a former athlete, and I would argue that I'm probably still an athlete as I push the age of 40, but that's for another time, is the extensive research that she's done in the line of Native American athletes. She also has a podcast that she hosts called The Creative Native, which features Native American athletes as well as advocates. And so again, she's going to talk to us a little bit today about seizing opportunity and creating your own path. And so I introduce to you Dr. Natalie Wilch.
Thanks, Dr. Bain. That was such a lovely introduction. I'm honored and humbled to present with you guys today and just kind of chat with you guys. Something that, and also I'm really looking forward to Coach Shell's presentation in a few weeks. I know she's been great so far just in our interactions in the webinars previously. And something Kirsten, who was our presenter a couple weeks ago, she started off because, I mean, it was right after the George Floyd death and the protests happening around the country. And she kind of just started out by saying, hey, let's take a moment and let's just check in and see how we're feeling. I'm curious, especially some of my students, how you guys have been holding up. And now we're seeing kind of COVID resurgence and kind of attention going around that. Does anybody kind of want to share where their kind of head's been at and how they've been kind of trying to stay healthy mentally?
I'll share. Oh, go ahead. Nope. Sorry. I think for me, it's just been kind of a wild year. I just graduated in May 2020. And so, I mean, my final semester at college was spent online. And then with the surgence of like the George Floyd death and the Black Lives Matter movements and the COVID, everything on top of each other, it's been kind of a hectic, crazy year. But I think this is just like more of an opportunity to like really advocate for things that you believe in. And I think it's like a prime time for us to really kind of figure out what really matters. I think COVID being in quarantine kind of made us step back a little bit and really reprioritize and kind of do that kind of thing. I've had a lot more time to just like dedicate to like my health, like really like get a lot of sleep, get workouts in, do that kind of thing, and just like recenter my mind as I enter the career force. So that's kind of how I've been spending my time.
No, that's great. No, I agree 100%. Like, and I think we definitely have the time when we're kind of in quarantine to, you know, really be reflective. And it can get really exhausting though. Like, I know I'm kind of infamous for being on social media and stuff, but like it can get really exhausting and like trying to stay on top of all the news. And every day it's, you know, a headline about something that's, you know, there's a lot of negative out there. What were you thinking, Kenna? How are you doing out there in beautiful Hawaii?
I think what's difficult is we're still one of the most restricted states in the U.S. So it's like that aspect of wanting to be involved and advocate for people and go to protests and go to different things is still pretty hard because like we still can't do a lot of things, and like our quarantine type of deadline just keeps getting extended. So it's like, it's a lot of just wait and see, which is difficult, but overall it's been fine though.
So. Yeah, definitely. I'm gonna pick on Dr. Bean. How close are you guys to Tulsa? Were you guys in the middle of all that craziness last week?
So I actually live in Broken Arrow, which is a suburb of Tulsa. But I was not there. As I mentioned, my grandmother's in the back, and so she hasn't been doing well. And so I've been out here, I think, now for 3 or 4 weeks. And so here, it's very rural. There's probably 1,500 people. They have had one positive case in regards to the pandemic in the county. And so it wasn't even in where we actually live. And so here's a lot safer in that regards than there. But I was not there for any of the protesting because of her, and her health was my priority. And so didn't want to possibly put myself where I could be exposed and bring something back to her. I've supported through sending people money that are pushing the narrative. Are supporting and pushing for the movement. I wasn't there when Trump was coming. And so I've kind of been out of it just because being here. And then even with social media, she has taken most of my time. And so that's where my focus has been, her, and then ensuring that I'm getting things done for work. And I was really just kind of tired. You know, I was just tired of everything that was being posted. And there's just a lot. I think there was a lot going on. We talked a little bit about it. And so for me, and I think social media in general can be draining. And so I just kind of took a step back and really focused on my family, focused on, you know, where did I want to put my energy to advocate for the things that I believe in? And I knew I couldn't be present because of the health issues and her being my priority. So for me, it was calling and checking on friends. You know, if I saw someone who was doing good work, well, let me cash up them some money so that they know. And, you know, when on social media, can I share the information that's going to be beneficial to my followers that I find helpful or that I find educational? So that's kind of where I've been. So I live in Tulsa, pretty much live in Tulsa, but haven't been there in probably the last month to be in the mix or to kind of feel some probably additional pressures. Had I actually been there.
Yeah, no, this is, that's so great. And I applaud you for everything, all the work that you do, and you know, family comes first. So that's, I think for most of us, that's been a big kind of recentering during this time. And, it's been a good thing, I think, for a lot of us. And, I just love thinking about where everyone's joining from today. I think we're kind of covering just about the entire, you know, United States. And it's there's such a great diversity, but there's still, you know, we kind of all can come together and kind of have these similarities and things like that. So I'm going to go ahead and dive in and share my screen. And when Dr. Bean kind of asked me what I wanted to talk about, I really kind of reflected on my life and my experiences and really what I think kind of made me who I am. And one big thing about that was I was always up for kind of seizing opportunity. And I've really, one of my friends told me that I was like a trailblazer and I've like created my own path. So I definitely think that's been a big piece of my journey. And I think we get bogged down on like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to go to grad school. I'm going to get this internship and we get this job. And we have it in our head, like things are going to go like step by step. And it oftentimes doesn't work out that way. And these kind of ideals and these dream jobs that we hold up can sometimes really, I think, paralyze us almost. I think we have to be a little bit more flexible. So I wanted to start because I can't talk about my story without, oh, well, actually first, something I want you guys to think about for kind of a later discussion. I don't want to pick on anyone right now, but just reflection. I think a lot about decisions and choices I've made in my life. And so I want you to think about what you consider your best decision and how that's impacted your life. Like why was it your best decision and how you consider that? And then also if you have any regrets, I think we often like to say, you know, don't have any regrets, but I do think it may not necessarily be a regret, we have kind of these what ifs in our life and like what might have changed different. So I'll definitely share the answer to these questions for myself as we go throughout the presentation, but I would love if anyone's willing to share as we get towards the end. So just be thinking that, maybe jot those down and we'll come back to it. But I have to start with where I'm from because it really has shaped my entire life and path. And so we like to call it the Rez, but it's the Cherokee Indian Reservation in North Carolina. It's in the little corner of Western North Carolina. When people think of North Carolina, they often think of like Raleigh or the Outer Banks, which is now a very great show on or popular show on Netflix. I haven't got to check it out yet, but that's what people think of when they think of North Carolina, South Carolina. And so we're a little bit different. We're kind of in that corner right there in the Appalachian Mountains, Great Smoky Mountains National Park, just about 2 hours from Knoxville, where I'm currently and where I've done most of my schoolwork. And growing up there, it's so funny because when people ask, it's so hard to compare when you don't know anything else. So, but what I've noticed in just talking to other people is just how much the community is so ingrained and so just such a big part of your life. Like you're not gonna go a day probably without talking to someone. Even if you're leaving your house, you're gonna run into somebody you know. Families are huge and they kind of, everyone knows everyone, and which can be a good thing. And as I put, kind of can be sometimes suffocating at times. I like to call it a bubble. So you kind of live in this little bubble. And it also, which is interesting, is comparing to other kind of Native reservations or kind of urban areas with high populations of Native Americans, it is still the rural South. So there are still a lot of Southern things about it. So like our accent, I say we have a Southern Rez accent because we're like, we have kind of have the Native accent, but we still have the Southern accent as well. And you know, things like fishing and hunting and farming are all really big things. And closest place to go shopping is really Asheville, North Carolina, which is an hour east of the reservation. So it was like a big deal to go shopping or go to the movies or anything like that. And for most, even now, the Wi-Fi connection isn't great. Like I go home and I just basically plan on unplugging. So you can kind of feel like that bubble is a little bit disconnected from the outside world. And it can be a really good thing because our community is so supportive of one another. And I've come, you know, young, 10 years ago, I would probably maybe not have had such good things to say, but you kind of come around to things as you get older and gain perspective and realize how nurturing and how great it can be. And while there are problems, we are really, really lucky. And I was telling Dr. Bean earlier when we were talking, she's kind of asking me what our reservation was like as far as resources, and we've been really lucky to have a casino and a partnership with Harrah's, and that's really, that paid for my all my school, that really pays for a lot of our healthcare, our just everything that's kind of going on in our structure, because we have our own kind of governing system. We have a chief, we have a vice chief, we have a court system, everything. But then of course we still have problems. There's still very high drug rate, drug usage. It was really sad when COVID hit. While we were really lucky to avoid infections from COVID, we saw a huge spike in drug overdoses. And, you know, I think that can be kind of traced back to kind of that nothing to do, and people not having really feeling like they have a purpose. And so that was really tough. And so it can sometimes those negatives can definitely be impactful. But overall, it really shaped me into kind of this ideal of community and wanting to support people around me and just make our kind of whatever environment I'm in better. So that really kind of grounded me, and I'm really happy for that. I'm going to share a few things that I've never shared in any kind of public way. Because I was reflecting on college and my undergrad. So I just always knew I was going to go to college. It never was a question for me. It was more of a where. I was really, like, I was kind of the perfectionist in high school. Like, I was valedictorian. I was an athlete, but I wasn't a good athlete. I was basically, like, I played volleyball my senior year with one of my best friends, and we basically played just to kind of letter, and we rode the bench and the freshmen started. That's kind of how bad we were. So, but we just loved playing and loved that kind of social aspect of sports. And that was such a big part of the reservation experience too, is the sport aspect. And that's kind of what really embeds like kind of love of sports in my life, and the community just enhanced that. And, but I went to college, and I was really considering Carolina. So if there's any Duke fans, I'm not happy with you, because I'm a Carolina girl through and through. Carolina was actually, Chapel Hill was actually 6 hours away from the reservation, and Knoxville, Tennessee, was only 2 hours away. And I went to a football game, I think my senior year of high school, and I just fell in love with the campus, the, you know, obviously the football game, and the atmosphere of that was amazing. And so freshman year, I go, and my roommate was this great girl named Ivana. She's originally Dominican, from the Dominican Republic, but she grew up in Washington, D.C., and it was so funny. That was the first time I realized, like, my experience growing up was very different than other people, because she was like, Knoxville is so country. She was like, she just didn't understand, like, the kind of, she just grew up in DC, and that's kind of all she knew. And so coming from the reservation, I was like, Knoxville's like a big city to me. Like, I was like, we have all these great restaurants and all these things we can do. And so it really, really opened my eyes, like, wow, I didn't grow up like everyone else, but we hit it off and we were best friends. Like, we did everything together, which is a good thing and a bad thing looking back now, because she ended up leaving sophomore year, after her freshman year. So we would do the IHOP at 2 a.m. We would do Pilates. We had like watch Friends on like DVDs. We had like the DVD box sets back in the day, dating myself here. But yeah, she just didn't, it wasn't a good fit for her, and she wanted to be back closer to her family. And so she left, and sophomore year, that was probably the biggest kind of like, just trying to figure out who I was, and just a big, I don't want to say a down point, just because I don't like to be kind of negative connotations, but it definitely was. I was still in a relationship from high school with someone from back home that was actually an abusive relationship, a long distance, but still kind of like one of those, like, you couldn't you know, when you feel like you can't get out of a relationship. And so that was definitely holding me back. And my sophomore year, I wanted to find something. And so I ended up rushing sorority. And I really wish, because in the South, sorority is such a, it's so funny seeing it now at Linfield, because it's, I would be in a sorority in Linfield in a heartbeat, but in the South, it's a little bit different. It's definitely a different dynamic. And the thing is, in the South, when you try to rush when you're a sophomore, you're kind of like damaged goods, because you've like, are, you're not a freshman and you're not going to be able to commit like full 4 years. So it was funny. There was only a handful of us that were trying to rush sophomore year. So we got like two sororities that like wanted us. And then the sorority I was in, got in was like one of the ones that was like not good academically, which was totally against what I was about. And so I lasted a semester in the sorority. The social part was kind of overwhelming. It wasn't the fit for me, as having more of a tomboy sports background. This actually is one of my my roommate my sophomore year, and she was a sorority girl, and like, but she was a freshman, and so she had a totally different experience. And but we got along great, but it was just a totally different year. And I definitely think that was kind of my like bottom, as far as not knowing who I was, not knowing where I was going, being in the, you know, an abusive relationship. And I ended up even like developing like basically an eating disorder. And because, you know, it was, you talk about the freshman 15, but then like sophomore year and the whole sorority thing, there's, you're get like a big sister, big little. And so like, there's just so much like candy and food. And like, I think I was just coping with that. And so I gained a ton of weight. And then I like, in response to that, tried to lose a ton of weight, and like basically just had some really bad eating habits. And at the same time, I was like trying to get into running. And so it was just a really, really hard time. It was definitely a low point. And thankfully, you know, I was able obviously to get out of a lot of that and get through that, but it was definitely a low point. And that's when I really kind of discovered sport management as my major, and learned about Nike N7, which was kind of gave me that dream to shoot for. And so I also was told about grad school, which I hadn't really thought about. I graduated in undergrad in 09, which was, if you don't know, it was like when the everything was just going to crap in America. It was one of the big recession times. And so grad school seemed like a good idea. I was told about a program at University of Central Florida. And this, I think, was my best decision, was going to this program. The first thing you do, to give you an idea of the program, the first thing you do is you get on a bus with like 30 people you're going to be in classes with. And you go to New Orleans and you rebuild houses. And I'd never done any kind of construction stuff. I ended up stapling my hand on the first day, like I was that girl. But it was the most rewarding and just life-changing experience I've ever had. And those people in the picture on the right, that's my cohort. And I talk to pretty much, I'd say at least half of them on a weekly basis. Like that is my family. Like I know I can count on them. We've been doing Zoom calls lately and trying to get as many people on as we can. And it really just helped me. It helped me so much in getting past, you know, the bad relationship. And you know, I love my time at Tennessee, and I'm in undergrad, and it was so great. And I just needed to get something new. And it really opened my eyes too to diversity. Tennessee is definitely not as kind of worldly as Central Florida and UCF, where people from all over, and our program was kind of handpicked to be people from all over the world and all different cultures. And it was funny. I say, you know, the reservation was really its bubble. And then Tennessee, I think, opened my eyes to, I had a lot of African-American Black friends in, at Tennessee, because it was very much Black and white. And obviously a lot of Black people are in sports at Tennessee. And so we got along really well and found a lot of commonalities. And then when I went to UCF, that really opened my world up internationally, because I had classmates from Taiwan and New Zealand. One of my best friends to this day is from New Zealand originally. She lives in London now. And so it really was just a step-by-step kind of progression, and step-by-step also getting further away from the reservation. And still, you know, at the time it was very much like, I wasn't looking back. And, you know, people were always like, you think you're better than us because you left. I got that a lot, for people. And, there's definitely some of that, that happens, but overwhelmingly though, it was a really supportive system. And I couldn't have done it without my family being like, go do it, you know, go after your dreams and all that. So, as I mentioned, when I was, in undergrad, I learned about N7. So N7 at Nike is their initiative for Native Americans. And so it's not just a initiative that's, you know, about product, but it's actually about enriching Native communities. And my boss, who's in the middle there of the upper right picture, Sam in the black polo, he grew up in Montana on a reservation, was working at a factory for Nike, and realized like how great it would be if Nike could somehow have this partnership with Native communities because of the need for physical activity and health. And so he got to the right people. He's the best networker I know. He got to the right people at Nike, and still has the right people's ears. And he made it happen. And now N7 is, I think, going on like 15 years at Nike, which, if you know about anything about Nike and initiatives, things come and go there so quickly. Even Livestrong now is a thing of a past, and I never thought I would see the day where Livestrong, but I related a lot to Livestrong, and it's kind of, we have that kind of the teal color, the turquoise, we have the product that's very kind of all has the same kind of teal, and it just actually came out with a new collection on Sunday for Indigenous Peoples Day. That's a more Canadian Indigenous Peoples Day celebration, but yeah, it's every season there's product, and it's designed by people normally who just work on N7 on the side. So, but now we have our own N7 designers, which is really great. But so grad school, all my kind of friends were like, you know, I want to work for the Orlando Magic, or I want to work for the NFL. And I knew I didn't really want to go that route. I kind of was always interested in the Nikes and the kind of more of the lifestyle of sport. And so when I graduated, I actually had the opportunity to work at ESPN Wide World of Sports down there in Orlando, which, if you're following the NBA or any of the pro sports, MLS, that's where everyone's talking about playing now, which is really funny for me to think about after working there. And that's kind of the new bubble that they're trying to create for sports. And I knew I was like, it was an event management position, and I kind of knew that wasn't what I wanted to do, because if anyone's worked in events, you kind of know it's long hours, a lot on your feet. It's not a lot of like kind of really strategic high level, but it's a lot of problem solving, which was really great. And to opportunity to work at Disney, I was just like, you know, this big corporation, I knew I would, you know, learn a lot. And so I did it. It was miserable a lot of times because I was outside in Orlando and working baseball and softball. So every day there was a rain delay because it storms every afternoon in Orlando, and a lot of long hours. But I did have some great managers and some great people that I learned a lot from, and kind of learned how a big corporation really runs, you know, makes it work. And then I got the call from Sam at N7. He was like, all right, you know, I had been staying in touch with him for over the years. And he's like, okay, I have, you know, a 1 year kind of contract position, kind of like an internship. He's like, I can't hire you after, but you know, you can get your foot in the door here at Nike. And I, you know, being in Orlando at the time, and definitely being a little bit burnt out, I was so ready. I didn't hesitate at all. And I have these questions here about, you know, responsibilities and who's depending on you, because I was lucky then. I didn't have anyone to answer to. I mean, just making sure my mom was okay with it. I know that was probably the hardest thing for her and my family. But I think when you're young, for students especially, when you don't have things tying you down, when you don't need to live in a certain location, that's the time to really go for it. And I don't regret it one bit. And it was scary. I left Orlando with two suitcases, flew to Portland, lived in Beaverton, didn't have a car for 2 months because I didn't realize that you definitely need a car in Beaverton. You know, you can make it in Portland without a car, but you definitely need a car in Beaverton. So I got my car shipped to me eventually. But I lived in a hotel for 2 weeks because I didn't even have a place to live when I first moved. All I knew, the only person I knew was Sam, who's my boss. And it was definitely a culture shock. It was so much at once. But I learned so much in just that year. And I talk about like being observant and kind of taking in your environment, because I think that's what really helped me be successful. And I realized at Nike, I was like, wow, we were working with agencies to do our website. We were working with agencies to do events. And you realize like all the cool commercials come from an agency. All like it's, you know, they collaborate, but it's not all coming out of Nike itself. And so when I was looking at other positions, I was like, well, let me look at the agency side. And I shot an email to Wieden McKennedy, and I had no idea. And many of you probably don't know, it's Wieden McKennedy, not Wieden, which is, I've said that too before. But if you just Google Wieden McKennedy, it's one of the largest advertising agencies in the world, and independent, which means they don't have like a corporate kind of conglomerate running them, that they get to kind of make their own calls about things, which is really one of the reasons I loved it so much. But Wieden McKennedy in Portland, they have offices all over the world. But I kind of shot an email to the HR director, got called in for an interview, didn't really understand what a big deal they were, to be honest. I think that's kind of what helped me get the job, was that a little bit of naivety helped me there, because I wasn't like starstruck. You know, it wasn't like I was going into like Adidas or Nike for an interview. I was just like this place that like works with them. So, and I had my experience at Nike. So I was really lucky to get that opportunity. And one thing I learned when I interviewed with them was how much the culture fit, how important that is for Wieden and for a lot of places now. It's not about kind of necessarily your credentials or what you're going to be working on, but do you fit in here? Do you fit in with, you know, this kind of culture of creativity that we've created? And it really was just kind of a whirlwind. I started out, I did a million things while I was there, and just, and in advertising, it's very common for people to jump around from agency to agency. And so for me to be there almost 5 years, I was like a veteran. Like I knew almost everyone. Like it was kind of amazing how I'd seen so many people come and go. And what made me successful though was bringing a positive attitude every day, and just observing. So like no matter what role I was in, I was always just kind of paying attention to like either my managers or just my coworkers, and just being like, okay, what's the hot thing that we're working on? Like oftentimes you're at the beck and call of a client. So if a client wants something, you're kind of all have to snap to it. You have to be on your email 24/7. It's not a normal 9-to-5. There's often a lot of time dinners and drinks and coffees and meetings and all these different like offsite things that happen. It's a really fun kind of, I like to call it a whirlwind experience, but I always was just really observant of what was going on around me and who, you know, just what was happening within. And you know, a lot of people are like, well, don't you feel like you're like being nosy? And I was like, well, not really. I mean, just kind of like, it's a very open workspace. So you can very easily, it's not like you're eavesdropping. It's more of just like, you're just kind of paying attention to what's going on around you, instead of going in and, you know, plugging your headphones and just kind of plugging away. You really just are there to kind of learn. And I think I learned so much from that and got to work with some really cool people on a ton of really cool projects. And this brought me to another question, because something that has definitely, and something I still struggle with, is what's called imposter syndrome. Has anybody heard of imposter syndrome? So if you haven't heard of it, basically it's this feeling like you're not good enough, and like you're basically an imposter in whatever your role is. So I had that a lot at White & Kennedy, because I was like, how did I even get here? I didn't study advertising. I don't, you know, you this feeling of like you don't belong, even though you're in an environment. And so I didn't really know what that's what it was called, but that's, I was definitely experiencing that. I even experienced that at Nike and ESPN, because there's always like the little thing in the back of your head that's like, oh, you're not good enough to do this, and how do you even know what you're doing here, and like working on these like huge things. And so that's why I posed the question, have you ever felt like you were underqualified? And then have you ever felt like you were overqualified? Because I think, especially for the women on this call, we've probably been in situations where we've been with, male counterparts that maybe we felt like we were definitely overqualified for something when they were put in another higher position. And so I think it's really something to think and reflect upon a lot, is that I think we sell ourselves short a lot. And I definitely can guarantee that most of us often feel we're more underqualified than we do overqualified. But imposter syndrome is real. I experienced it in my PhD program too, because it was such a different world going back to school. And, you know, the saying, the more you know, the more you don't know, like you just discover how much you don't know out there. I think I'm jumping ahead on my slides here. So this is one of the last pictures I took at Wyden, working in one of our meeting rooms. And, you know, there's always just creative, funky stuff going on. And I was getting ready to leave, and I had just reached a point where I was kind of burnt out. I thought maybe I wanted to get back closer to my family. I wasn't doing anything really native related, and that's kind of was really something I wanted to include in my life. And so I talked to my old advisor at Tennessee, who was great, and he said, you know, you want to come back and get your PhD, we can, you know, you can study Native American sport and you can start teaching. And something I loved doing when I was at Nike and Wyden was like, I'd have students or just friends of friends reach out to me and say, hey, can we look at my resume, or hey, will you do this? And like, I always loved doing that. I always loved talking to other people about their careers. And so I thought, well, maybe I can, you know, do that, you know, at the bigger, higher level. And so one of the cool things in between that, in that kind of weird, I had a summer between when I took off at Wyden and between starting my PhD, and the picture on the far right is of me and one of my favorite, or just a great group, some coaches from my high school, and then one of our athletes, Darius, who he's running in college now. I'm so proud of him. But I was able to go back and watch him run at state, and got that reconnection to kind of my school and my people. And like, just that was a big thing for me. And it made me realize too, that like, I don't need to maybe be here necessarily all the time, but like, I can still be involved with my community, even though I'm not there 24/7. And so keeping relationships with Darius throughout the years, something I got into when I was at Wyden was the film and production side. And I really loved that. And when I went back to do my PhD, I struggled so much with this, like, everything's written and it's written in this format and it's XYZ and it all fits into this one little format. And, you know, if you know Native American culture, you know that storytelling is such a big part of it, and oral storytelling often too. And it's not about the written word, but it's more about the spoken word and how we tell those stories. And so for me, having a visual video representation was a big important part, and I ended up doing a documentary for my dissertation. So I tried to get out of doing a lot of writing first of all, but ended up doing a full written dissertation and a video, which was really really rewarding, and I 100% worked all the work I put in. I got to work with some great filmmakers in Knoxville. I still work with them today, and we've collaborate on projects. They worked with athletics, and so they were working like SEC football games, and so I was really set up for success in that, and you know, that pursuit. And I was really blown away when I went back to my PhD, just how willing people were to help. Like, I reached out to our communications department, and they were willing to help, and then my entire department, my advisor, but all of our faculty were just so great and just so like, you know, you want to do this something different, we're going to let, you know, you're going to let you run with it. And so I really learned like, hey, you know, even if I don't fit in this box, like if I just ask and kind of go for it, like I can really go a long way. And so another thing I titled this slide, Finding Your Why. I think we hear a lot about passion and purpose and things like that. And I, you know, I think the finding your why is like, why, you know, what gets you out of bed every day? What motivates you? And like that, those are some really hard reflections that I think we have to evaluate ourselves on. And also just admitting what you don't know and being okay with it and being like, okay, I'm not going to be the expert in indigenous research methodologies, but I'm going to implement what I can and I'm going to do my best to like, you know, and I'm not going to be, you know, sport marketer professor A, but I'm going to do the best I can to, you know, help my students from my experience. And also, you know, it really came full circle with Linfield, because once I went back to do my PhD, I realized how much I missed Oregon. And I, my whole time in Portland, had never heard of Linfield and honestly didn't really know what I was missing out on from the small school experience, because I'd only had big school experience. And so when I went and interviewed, I just fell in love with the campus. What sold me on it though was the students and lunch with the students. And they were just so passionate and just so eager to learn. And so it was a no-brainer for me. And it was just so cool to be able to have an opportunity to not only build a program, but just be able to work with students really face-to-face and one-to-one. And even now that may be over Zoom, but it really has been really just dream job, full circle once again. And, you know, COVID hits and, you know, things kind of go crazy. And right now we're kind of trying to plan for the fall. We're also, I was really excited. I got to be appointed the faculty athletic representative for Linfield, which means I'm kind of the liaison now between academics and athletics. And so when the George Floyd murder and the protests started, some of the coaches reached out to me and we were just talking about like, hey, what can we do for our students right now who may have questions, may want to talk about these things. And so we were able to set up like a weekly kind of chat that we're going to keep going and having other students get involved. And it's been like, that's really honestly got me through all this, because I was like, okay, you know, I can't you know, I can't go out and protest, I'm scared of COVID, but like I can plan this session for my students and we can talk about these things and kind of work our way through this. And, you know, there's the, just how we make sense of the news. And we've had students, you know, just, you know, very innocent, like, well, what does it mean to defund the police? Or what does it mean, you know, for even kneeling and things like that, that they don't fully understand. And so being able to have those conversations and have them be able to ask questions when they just don't know, and when they can't probably talk about it with their parents. I know it's such a hard piece of that. And I just think that it's been such a great opportunity. And like, we're just really just trying to make Linfield, and we're actually going to be Linfield University as of July 1, which is kind of crazy, and just making it a place for students to really thrive and have those kind of special experiences that I think I was so lucky to have. And I'm going to be honest, the getting comfortable with saying no, I'm still working on that. Like, I have such a hard time with that. I have a million things. Like, everyone's like, oh, it's summer, are you like taking? I'm like, I have a million things happen. It's like, I just can't say, I have a hard time saying no, because I like opportunities and I don't like to pass them up. So that's one I'm working on, and full disclosure on that. But I think it is important. We can't really burn ourselves out. And like just going Sunday to see my grandpa for Father's Day, that was like, okay, I'm gonna like really get away a little bit. And something I want to pose to you, like we talk a lot about passion, finding your why, but I think about, I think what we need to think about is how what the actual impact we want to have. So you might be passionate about sports, but like, so is, you know, everyone else, and we're all kind of going crazy without sports right now. But it's like, what impact through sport do you want to have? Like, do you want to be a coach? Do you want to be an administrator? But then also, who do you want to impact? Because I've had a ton of students say to me, like, I want to be a GM or I want to be an athletic director. And I'm like, well, if you're at a GM or athletic director, you're not going to be working with students or athletes. You're going to be working with, you know, leadership and administration. So if you want to have an impact on athletes or students, that's not going to be the job for you. And so I challenge us to think about that. And I think I'm about ready to open up the discussion. I want to go back to those first questions too. I had another slide too about another thing about this kind of time is getting uncomfortable or getting comfortable with the unknown. That's been really hard for me, and not being able to plan, not being able to plan for trips. So this is a picture of one of my Zoom classes. Kenna probably be mad at me. I did a little screen capture of our class over the spring, and I'd never taught online before, so that was definitely out of my comfort zone, but it's been a huge learning experience. I want to now just like open it up and let anyone who wants to talk about either the ideal of, you know, your best decision or any regret or, you know, what ifs, and then thinking about your passion or what kind of impact you want to have. If anybody wants to share, if I hit a nerve with anything. Not all at once.
I'll share.
Thanks, Taylor.
Yeah. Thank you again for sharing this with us. I think I've probably heard a lot of this a lot, but I feel like I learned something new about you every time. So I thank you for letting me learn about your story and everything that you've accomplished. You're a huge role model in my life. So thank you. But as far as like my best decision I've made, it would be to attend Linfield. For those of you who don't know me, I was a 4-year student athlete. I played on the women's soccer team at Linfield, and I joined a sorority at Linfield. I studied abroad at Linfield. I got an internship to participate and volunteer at the college football playoffs in 2019. So I can say that like I've gotten the most out of my undergraduate experience that I think most students probably wouldn't have. And I don't think I would have gotten that without Linfield and the small college atmosphere. So I think that would be like one of my most things that I'm very thankful for. And then best decision. And then as far as like regrets, I wish that I would have tried to pursue things that maybe like you were talking about the imposter syndrome, Natalie, about like maybe not being good enough. I think that kind of holds me back a lot of the time. I kind of let things like approach me or people reach out to me rather than actually like kind of setting goals and learning. Like I think a lot of me was just scared to fail. I think after like graduating Linfield, I've learned to like set goals and like really try to accomplish those things. So I think I regret like not pursuing goals and things like that earlier in time. But I think that Linfield has like helped me realize that setting goals is important and that you can accomplish things. And as far as my passion, sport management is very new. Obviously, Natalie is like the new professor and she just started last semester and I already graduated. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to major in it. But I do want to pursue a career in sports, but I want to impact my community wherever that might be. I want to work in event operations to give fans experiences that they're going to remember and take away because sports has always been a big part of my life. And I want to be able to give that back to others. If not in fan experience, I want to work in community outreach where I can really connect with people in the community and give them that impactful experience of what sports can be to a lot of people and what it has been to me. So that's kind of my answer to all those questions. Sorry, I kind of rambled.
No, Tyler, you just made my day. Like, I'm bummed that I wasn't able to get to Landfill sooner. And but now you can always come back and always be there, and we'll always be able to be able to chat. But I love what you talked about though, with the, like the fan experience and the event. Because when I was in school, I was like, when I saw event management, I was like, oh, I'm just gonna be working at events. It's not gonna be fun at all. But now we've really transformed it into thinking about the entire experience. So you're thinking about from the get-go, like, when you park your car, or when you're driving to this place, parking your car, and then like the whole after experience now, it's like, and when you work in that, you get to have a lot bigger impact, I think. You're not just there to like clean up trash, you know, like I think it's really evolved in just the 10 years since I've been working there. And I think that's, you're going to do so great at that. I'm so excited for you. Like, and that's one of my favorite things about this is that like, I get to live vicariously through all you guys, and it's so fun. Diane, did you want to share?
I do. Thank you for this webinar, for this Zoom meeting. I have been in my passion for the past 3 years. I'm a mentor to Justice Involved Women. I'm trying to veer over into the men and women. I've seen a lot and I've experienced a lot. I've cried with these girls and oh my God, like my heart just pours out to them. And the passion, well, the reason why I have this passion is because I was a troubled youth. I was a troubled young adult, mid-age adult. I was just in trouble. Teenage mother. I mean, I overcame a lot. So me having an impact, a positive impact with these women, that's my passion, like never ending. That's my passion, is to help others get back to the community and to work, in the Innocence Project. I've learned to deal with all kind of personalities and a lot of me's. So it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And
I love the Innocence Project. That's really great work. Oh,
yes. My daughter is famous. Like, she's teaching me. She's my drive. She's got a law firm in Miami. So yeah.
That's so great.
I'm excited to be at Baycom. Thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else? I did want to share it. I think this will hit home with you, Diane. I had a final quote and I heard this the other day and I haven't been able to stop thinking about it because I've been told this a lot as a Native American. It's like, oh, you're kind of in that minority, or you hear a lot about women sometimes being voiceless. This scholar, I have no idea how to pronounce, Dr. Roy, she said, you know, there's really no such thing as voiceless. There's only the deliberately silenced or preferably unheard. And I felt that, like, that's, I think right now what we're experiencing in our culture too is like, you know, there's no such thing as the voiceless. It's the peoples whose voices get heard or get broadcast, or ignored. We just have to find the platform for these people. And I think all of us probably, we're not so much on the what, we're on the who and how we can have that impact. And, you know, it's, we can dream big, but it's comes down to like the individuals. And something else that I was reflecting on too is I've been so lucky in my career to just work with great people. And I have connections, and I don't like saying connections because I think of networking and that I think gets overused, but just a family, honestly, of people that I've worked with at all my different stops. And I talk to my old boss, Sam, all the time. I talk to friends from Wyden all the time. And it's just, you can find, hopefully in your experiences, find people that you can relate to, and you can stay connected no matter what happens. And you just never know what's going to happen, and things kind of come full circle. But that was all I had. And I'm happy I can share the presentation, Dr. Bean.
Thank you. I'll definitely send it out.
Natalie, I just want to say you did a fantastic job. You really
thank you.
So I think you talked on
some really great pieces. And one of the things that I noticed from all the pictures and what you shared is, that we all have to kind of, if you've never done something that absolutely terrified, and like moving away from your family like that, that's something for you to think about. Have you played it safe all of your life? I think one of my most, the biggest decisions that shaped my life is after I graduated from college. I graduated in December and I taught a semester at a small Oklahoma school, and then I moved to Texas. And my parents haven't even lived out of state, although we traveled places, but they're like, are you sure you want to do that? And it was terrifying. And one of the saddest things to watch my mom drive away after we moved down, like, golly. But those are some of the things that really make you grow up and make you, it's just really just God and you, and you got to figure it out. And so that's one of the things that I have to say is just like, if you've never done anything that really scared you to that level, you know, you should try it. You should try it. There's some great.
Absolutely. And it's okay to cry and have those moments. Like, yeah. I still get teary when I leave my mom every time. Like, it doesn't, it's all about having those experiences. And they, like, I know my family just loves living vicariously through me, and it makes me feel even more just like empowered to go and do those things. And like, when you have that support system like that, it can be really great. Thank you, Danita. That was great.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And I'm actually really excited. I haven't spent a lot of time. I've been to Oklahoma, but I haven't got to spend a lot of time there. But I have a colleague at Baylor who I've done a lot of research on stickball and in Cherokee specifically, but he wants to spread that to the Choctaw, Oklahoma Choctaw, and some of the other tribes in the kind of Texas, Oklahoma area. So I'm hoping to come out as soon as, you know, COVID stuff goes away and do a lot more research there. So I'm going to have to come visit with all y'all in person once we.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, you're going to have to come. We do stickball at the Creek Nation too, so you'll have to come our way.
Yeah. We can have a barbecue. Yes.
Anybody else have any comments? Natalie, you did an amazing job. I think a lot of the things that you said even hit home for me. The full circle is definitely there. I started my college career as a student athlete at Baycone. And then now I'm back here trying to provide additional opportunities for Native Americans. And I think one of my biggest passions is trying to create that voice for those that normally aren't heard. And I think probably one of the best decisions was to get an education. And I think an education is just so important. And I don't think the whole westernized traditional education, everyone should go and get it. But I do push for it because of the doors that it opens for us, the seats that it allows us to have, and the people, the decision makers that we get to come into contact with. And so that's probably my best decision I ever made, was continue to pursue my education. I could the opportunities to make a bigger impact in my community by just sharing those experiences, similar to kind of what you've shared. And so I think it's really important for us to continue to do so and use education to our advantage to push where we want to impact, or the groups that we want to impact and how we want to impact. And so I don't know if I have any regrets, except for maybe not doing as much when we're off in the summertime from a faculty standpoint. But I really appreciate you being with us today. Again, excellent choice of topics and the sharing. The questions posed, I think, really allow us to think. And again, I'm well into a career, but I'm like, I might need to stop and reconsider some things. So I definitely appreciate it. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share as we wrap up?
Thank you all for spending your time with me. Yeah. That's proud of you. Thanks for having me.
If you come to Oklahoma, I want to be invited.
Yes.
Yes, coach.
Okay.
Yes.
You're just right.
Looking forward to your presentation, Rita.
Well, I'm not going to have the beautiful slide presentation you have. I'm like, oh my gosh, Nicole, I don't know if I can do that. So anyway, I was going to have to get my son involved, but I look forward to meeting you in person.
Yes.
And Donita, it's good to see you too.
Thank you. All right. So Taylor, don't leave just yet. I have an announcement for you. Are you still on?
I'm still here.
Perfect. I just seen your message. So as you know, we always have a student winner that gets $20 for logging in first to our webinars. So Taylor, you won. And so yeah. I'll send you a side email afterwards so that that way you can claim your $20 and go grab lunch or something of that nature. So again, I just want to thank everyone for coming and spending some time with us today. I want to thank Dr. Welch again. I just admire what you do and what you stand for. And so I'm so thankful to have you online with us today and just sharing your knowledge with everyone. Again, if you have any questions, I'll always send an email out just to follow up, tell you thank you, and then also share Dr. Welch's contact information. So if you have further questions, if there's other people that made comments, we pretty much kind of share information. So as I mentioned, A.D. Rogers has served as one of our speakers. Coach Story will be up on August 4th. And so I'll send that out in that email as well. And so if you have any questions or want to connect with somebody, feel free to use my email. I'm always here to help you and serve you and point you in the right direction as well. So if anybody has any final thoughts, we'll allow you to do that. And then we'll close out here. We're all good. Natalie, any closing thoughts for you before we finish up?
No, I'm always on, you know, social and stuff, and I did see that it was 48th anniversary of Title IX today, and so I wanted to give out a shout out and how impactful that's been in all of our lives. But I just want everyone to encourage everybody to just stay healthy, take care of yourselves and each other, and look forward to seeing everybody in person.
Perfect. Everyone have a great day. Thank you again, Natalie. We appreciate you, and we'll see everyone on August the 4th.